Wendy Hinman, author of Tightwads on the Loose, a 7-year Pacific Odyssey. I'm going to read from, something on the internet somewhere. Wendy Hinman's award-winning book, Tightwads on the Loose, a 7-year Pacific Odyssey about her 7-year voyage aboard a 31-foot boat with her husband, who is too big for the boat. The book, I added that part. The book has garnered rave reviews and has been selling very well. Hit the top 100 on Amazon Books, been a bestseller and a staff favorite at a number of private small bookstores. Welcome, Wendy, and congratulations.
Well, it's reached an audience greater than just cruisers.
Yeah, actually, people who just have no intention of going offshore are finding it just fun, fast adventure read, and just enjoying going along for the ride without having to get their feet wet.
So you and your husband, Garth, sailing for both of you was in your blood since you were wee ones, I believe.
Yes, I learned how to sail when I was 7 years old. My folks moved to Hawaii with me, and we decided to be in Hawaii. You had to sail, so we bought a Cal 27 and signed the whole family up for sailing lessons. And we kept meeting all these people who'd done this thing called voyaging offshore, and I thought it sounded pretty neat. We had all these books aboard, like Survive the Savage Sea and Adrift and Afloat and Capsized and Shipwrecked, and I thought that sounded kind of fun and exciting, and
titles
my mom
like that
thought
would tend
it
to
did
intimidate.
Not. I know. Somehow it didn't intimidate me, and then I met this cute guy, and he'd already sailed around the world. He'd already been shipwrecked, and so I figured he'd gotten that out of the way, and he could probably fix anything anywhere because basically he had to when he was growing up. So we've combined forces and took off on an adventure after being married for about 12 years. And I didn't want to come home, actually.
How did you two meet?
Con me.
How did you meet?
We met in Washington, D.C. We were sharing a house with a bunch of professionals, and it was a great way to afford a house in an expensive place like D.C.
You were housemates.
Housemates,
just
yes.
By happenstance, the name of the group just a moment ago, there you were and there he was.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
And then many miles later, under the keel.
Exactly.
Tightwads on the Loose. What does tightwad mean to you?
Well, when you buy a boat that is 31 feet and does not actually allow one of the two members of the crew to sit up straight or stand up straight, you know you got your priorities a little bit crazy. But it was the boat we could afford at the time. It was a well-built boat, but beautiful wood, cold-molded cutter, and we didn't want to wait until we had all the fancy systems or any big budget. We wanted to go and explore the world, and what we realized when we were out there is that we could go on a pretty simple boat and have a fantastic adventure, and we're hooked. We are going again.
You are going again. Well,
yeah.
Before that, the notion of cruising inexpensively, there's values in there. Not just the convenience and the possibility, but there's a statement there too, isn't there?
Yeah, what I've discovered is that comfort is kind of the booby prize for not doing things that excite you and engage you. And I thought, okay, maybe we'll go off and we'll sit in the cockpit and have umbrella drinks, and that's boring. We had fun just kind of pushing ourselves to the limit and figuring out what we were capable of and sailing the boat and pushing the boundaries of what we were able to do.
Did you sacrifice? Did you feel you were sacrificing anything by keeping yourself to a small budget?
No, I think that because we had a small budget, we were more creative and innovative and more engaged with the locals, more engaged with creative ways of troubleshooting problems that might have stopped somebody who was on a bigger budget and thought they needed to wait to get a part sent to them and fix it a certain way. We just kind of made do. Sometimes when the engine wasn't working real well, we said, well, we know how to sail. We'll sail in and out. And we did. We had a good sailing boat, and we had fun kind of challenging ourselves to get in and out of tight spots with
the story of sails. How you found Valella is a good story.
It is. It's fun. We looked and looked for a boat that was actually big enough for both of us, and then we saw this one on the internet, and we went in and we got all excited about it, but somebody else was buying it. And I went up and did Whidbey Island Race Week with a bunch of friends, and we talked on the phone during the week, and something was going on with this boat. It hadn't actually been removed from the internet listing, and I said, well, Garth, call about it and see what you find out. And I knew when he showed up in the parking lot, we were going to buy a boat that day because something had happened with the previous owners that were going to buy the boat. It didn't come through, and so it was the boat for us.
Had you been looking for a boat for a while?
We did. We looked for quite a while, and we looked at the boats in our range were not real great boats. They were charity cases, but this one was really well built. I think the reason we got such a good deal on it is because nobody knew what a cold molded wooden cutter was, and it didn't appeal to everybody to have a wooden boat. I think wooden boats are fantastic. And
a couple more questions about the boat. One indirectly. How tall is Garth?
Garth is 6'1", and the headroom on Valela was 6 foot.
And by the way, what does that word mean? What is Valela or
Valela is a little creature that sails on the ocean, and basically it looks like a little blue piece of plastic, and it's got a sail that's vertical, and it blows with the wind, and it's got a tack on the northern hemisphere that's opposite the tack in the southern hemisphere, and they are nicknamed by the wind sailors, and they just go with the wind. And we figured we were going to go with the wind behind us, so we did a lot of beating, unfortunately. But Valela did it well.
Sometimes you see them, like, you know, washed up by the thousands on the shore.
Well, friends of ours we met said, oh, we were going to name our boat that. But we always saw them washed up on the beach. And we just said,
so it's dangerous.
Thank you for sharing. we're not planning on doing that.
But you bought not just a boat, you bought a metaphor.
Yes. Yes.
And $33 a day was your budget, and that was the income you got from renting your house wherever the house was.
Yes. So we had a house that brought in about $1,000 net, and I kind of mentally thought $33 a day, and I knew the days that I kind of overdid the budget that we needed to go to a remote anchorage and do a bit of snorkeling for a while to wait for the next rent check to come in.
What were some of the challenges? I mean, staying within the budget, what were the biggest challenges to doing that?
Well, when we got to New Zealand, we'd broken a bit of equipment, and we wrecked the radio. We never had very good luck with radios or electronics of any sort, and we'd wrecked it, so we wanted to replace it. And so everything was so cheap in New Zealand that we ended up kind of exceeding the budget, taking care of all the things that we wish we'd done before we left. But fortunately, the season came, and it was time to sail away, and our budget was way better for it, too. Go to these remote places, and if you're on the ocean sailing a million miles, there's not much to buy, and it does wonders for your budget when you're on, say, a 49-day nonstop voyage like we did from Japan to North America.
How much water do you carry?
We carried 45 gallons, which kept us busy for about 3 weeks with fresh water, and, of course, there's unlimited amount of salt water all around us, so we used that pretty thoroughly, and then did the fresh water rinse just with a little bit of very carefully measured fresh water.
Did you encounter people along the way who looked at you kind of funny for the way you were doing things? I mean, I'm thinking people in the larger, fully appointed vessels, the hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of boats.
It's amazing. It's really all relative. A lot of the systems that we carry today, Joshua Slocum lived without them. Many people lived without them. We were the smallest boat in every single anchorage, and I think we were having just as much fun as everybody else. And a lot of people had their voyages wrecked by sitting and waiting for parts for their systems that they didn't know how to fix, or they didn't know how to live without them. And since my husband sailed around the world and a lot of the stuff broke while they were underway, he figured out how to live without a lot of stuff and or to kind of fix it along the way, and ways to just keep going anyway.
7 years and 34,000 miles. Did you ever come home for family, to work, or was it 7 years at sea and far away from home?
My husband came home once, only once, and that's because we were stopped for a little while, and we got a paid trip home. And then I came home another time after we had one of these passages from challenging passage, I'll just say. We sailed from New Zealand to Fiji, and we kind of got the weather wrong, and we got 30 knots in the face for a long time, and you know, the sheets were mildewing, and we had sewage lake from a backflow, and it was one of those things where you kind of go, this is so miserable. And then I hit this moment where I just thought, you know, this is so ridiculous. And I started laughing. And from that moment on, nothing changed except my attitude. And I thought, you know, I can be miserable or I can just see how ridiculous this is and have fun with it. And so after we got to shore, I think my mom heard that I want my mommy tone in my voice. And she said, I'll send you a plane ticket. So she did. And I came home and had a nice reunion with my family and some friends and got to see my grandparents and got to get a few little boat parts that we had need for.
In the background, there was a steam whistle just a moment ago,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah.
That's how we know we're really at the boat festival.
Yeah.
A number of reviews of your book, and a number of the people who wrote about your book wanted to almost create domestic discord between you and Garth, talking about how almost ridiculous it would be to have two people for 7 years. And I actually found some of those comments rather offensive, actually. How was it, though, for you?
Well,
was
we didn't belong every single moment. But one thing I realize is that I'd rather be happy than right. And I can let a lot of stuff roll off. And when the only person who knows where I am and is partially responsible for my safety, I'm mad at him. That's just makes sense to just let it go and move on. And I happen to pick somebody who's pretty considerate and decent human being, and so we just try to be considerate to each other. And we also learned a bunch of things about personality types and making sure we get our needs met. I did a session yesterday on keeping your relationship afloat, and it's like I'm the extrovert, he's the introvert, and I joke that every extrovert needs somebody to do the listening. But just knowing that he doesn't want to see people every single moment of the day, and I need to be considerate of that and deal with the fact that he's got a different psychological makeup, and we can meet both of our needs if we're careful.
So we're just about to run out of time here, and I had a question real quickly, which is I understand you're building another boat.
We are.
Valela has been sold, And so tell me briefly about that, because we're going to have to go to a station ID here in a moment.
My husband is a naval architect and designs ships for a living. One of his lifelong dreams has been to build a boat of his own design. And I think he was designing it from the refrigerator drawings that his mom posted when he was a little boy all the way up to our whole voyage. And he's designing something he can't buy, and he's testing some of his design concepts to see how it operates and how well it does. We are building from the ground up, where we put the cockpit on and we're building the interior, and it's coming along great, and I can't wait to go test it out and see what we can do with it.
Well, thank you for coming today. So you are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and we are broadcasting live from the Wooden Boat Festival. We've just been talking with Wendy Hinman, who is the author of Tightwads on the Loose.
And when will Wendy be speaking tomorrow?
When will Wendy be speaking?
Tomorrow morning at 9:30, I will be talking about living without refrigeration. So that's relevant to people who have refrigerators and not, because not everything can fit into that little box.
And it's a good point, because my work has been marine electrical work. And the number one cause of people having battery problems on their boats is their refrigerators.
I've gone to a lot of very great parties when the refrigerator hit the fritz, and they needed to have a big meat session of getting rid of all the things that would spoil.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy, very much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.